going to whisper some things to you now about Crunch chocolate bars. Because apparently this whispering thing is a thing that makes you feel things. It's saying something crunchy is coming in the candy wrapper language. Imagine your tongue hiking up those crispy, rocky ridges. Now, drum roll, please.
Wow, that's good. Crunchy, munchy chocolate doesn't whisper.
Turn up the fun with Crunch.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Get ready for your first round of golf of the year at the 32nd Annual 2023 Choice Bank Minnesota Golf Show. Returning to the Minneapolis Convention Center Friday, February 24th through Sunday, February 26th. This year's show includes free lessons from the PGA professionals, thousands of name brand golf apparel items, discounted especially for the show, and your chance to sink a putt for $100,000. Plus so much more. Tickets and more information at minnesotagolfshow.com.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
We are loaded with Vikings feedback here on a Feedback Friday. Mackie and Judd, daily Minnesota sports fodder, entertainment, speculation, therapy, whatever you guys need from us. And every Friday, we basically just turn the keys over to you guys. We turn the show over to you to send us questions, comments, concerns, critiques. You can always hit us up through the Score North app. There's a feedback tab in there, and we are constantly monitoring your trolling comments on Twitter as well, your funny one-liners. This one's from Joe Haas. This is, so you guys remember a few days ago, I think it was on Purple Daily, that we were talking about some of the just cap ramifications and whatnot, and I think I made mention that we got to reach out to Over the Cap and just, if we're talking about a Kirk Cousins trade or something, let's make sure that we got the cap figures right. Well, Joe Haas reached out to Jason Fitzgerald of Over the Cap for a couple things. So here's the question. I love this time of year in the NFL in large part because of the reckless speculation that Score North engages in.
Speculation.
Please do not let the purple Kool-Aid drinkers on Twitter that only listen to state-run Vikings opinions about bringing back everyone in their mid-30s change what you do. Thank you for the
We won't.
Encouragement, Joe. I recently submitted a question to Jason Fitzgerald of Over the Cap to answer a question on his podcast. Jason's school of thought tends to align with kind of what you guys are saying, which is the Vikings are in a really tough spot cap-wise. They need to find a way to reset this thing, etc. And so he asked Joe here, the emailer, about trade value for various Vikings veterans. So, and again, this is just one man's opinion, Jason Fitzgerald from Over the Cap, but he kind of lives in the valuation world of the NFL, right? And so he provided trade value for these five Vikings players.
Oh, my gosh.
Someone write this down.
Oh, wow.
Reckless speculation.
Danielle Hunter. If the Vikings were to decide, he's really good. He's not quite what he was a few years ago. He's also 28 years old and is going to want a big contract again. Maybe it's better to just get younger at edge rusher, get some value for him, right? Mm-hmm. Over the Cap says a second or a third round pick would be the compensation because the contract would be a headache for whoever acquires him. So if he were under contract for a little bit longer, maybe he'd be worth more, but like a second or third round pick.
Okay. Okay.
Judd, I'll trust you to write these down so we can see what we have at the end of the.
Okay.
Za'Darius Smith. So Za'Darius is still under contract, but you can get out from underneath it with very little penalty, right? So you could trade him because he's under contract. Over the Cap says he's worth a third round pick. First half of the season, Za'Darius is worth probably a first-round pick. Second half of the season, Za'Darius wasn't awful, but didn't get home and sack the quarterback really at all. So They're saying third-round pick at over the cap. I hadn't thought about him as a trade piece
because
he was so bad down the stretch, but
I'll write that down and then dismiss it immediately. He an agent.
Who are you to dismiss Jason Fitzgerald from over the cap?
I am the former lead beat writer for the Minneapolis-based Star Tribune, covering the Vikings. Previously, I covered the Packers. Longtime National Football League insider. Za'Darius Smith he's got a bad back. He's aging in. He was basically non-existent in the second half, and he's saying a third-round pick. I'd like to talk to Jason about that.
But Za'Darius was among, I think he was like top five in pressures this season, and a lot of those came in the first 8 or 9 games, but.
Okay.
Interesting. I would say that this shines a light on the fact that he's an edge rusher that might have some gas in the tank, get healthy over the offseason. You could probably get something for him. It's very interesting.
I'd be shocked. Okay.
Eric Kendricks and Harrison Smith.
Yep.
He believes you could get mid-round picks, so call him like a fifth-round pick for each of those guys.
Okay.
I don't know about getting a fifth round pick for Kendricks.
Yeah.
Harrison Smith is still playing at a pretty high level.
I think he's low on Harrison and high on Hendricks there.
Okay. So maybe it averages out to like a fourth and a fifth or something.
Well, I would say that Harrison Smith is going to get you a third round pick before Za'Darius Smith is now.
Mm-hmm.
He's a more valuable player. I mean, Za'Darius Smith is literally he's literally breaking down, which is not his fault, but Harrison Smith would at least bring intangibles, and he is still far more of a consistent, productive player. He's not as productive as he used to be, but
could you turn Za'Darius loose in a part-time role? Again, the knee heals up in the offseason. He did play a lot of games.
It's a sexier position.
He's an edge rusher.
Yeah, it's a sexier position and can make a bigger impact at its ceiling. I know what you're saying, Judd, but.
But you're not giving up a third-round pick for, could you? I'd sign him. I might trade a late-round pick, but that's it for Z. For Harry, I would be one guy that I would be tempted to actually hold on to currently, because I do think that I do think at that position, you can extend your career, and it doesn't mean that you're as good as you were in your prime, but it doesn't. But to me, when an edge rusher is washed, that's all she wrote.
I do like the idea of keeping at least one of the veteran guys around, too. Maybe two of them. I mean, if Daniil is considered one of the veteran guys, if you kept Harrison or something, and then go super young and speedy at the other positions. Okay, Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen. Jason from Over the Cap says absolutely no trade value. In listening to him, he might be skewed against running backs. Yeah, Joe, the emailer, adds his own color here and says, I personally think there'd be a team desperate enough to give a mid-round pick for Dalvin. I agree. I do think Dalvin has some value. Thielen's going to be really tough because you'd have to completely nuke that contract, start anew. I don't know. And I don't even know if the Vikings are in a position to outright cut him until after June 1st because of the cap penalty, but it probably sounds about right. No value for Thielen, maybe a little value for Cook. It's funny because Pro Football Focus is Mock Draft Trade Simulator has third round value on Dalvin Cook because we just completed a trade earlier this week.
Yeah. I would separate those two. I would not bring those two up in the same sentence. Dalvin Cook, you might not be able to get something back for, but I think that you probably could.
Yeah.
Thielen, I agree with that. Like, what did you see in 2022 that leads you to believe, you know what? I think there's something left here. It looks like he is out of gas.
Yep. And then Kirk Cousins, he put through this exercise.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Hater.
No
trigger warning.
Hater.
Fitzgerald didn't. No, you know what happened,
Jason. Jack?
No, Mackey's decided to just make up what Cousins is worth.
So Jason from Over the Cap says Kirk would be worth a mid to late first round pick in total trade value.
Yep.
He mentioned that maybe a pick this year, like a second, third, or a fourth, and then a conditional second that can turn into a first next year could make sense.
Yes.
That's where like the Niners, if this thing were to happen, and yes, we are contractually obligated on an annual and this time of year daily basis to try and trade Kirk to the 49ers. So they don't have a first or a second round pick. So what they would offer, they're going to have three comp picks in the third round. Maybe they would give you
a third round this year, and then like their first next year or their second next year, conditional first if they go to the conference championship game with them, something like that. So, and that's my point. Like, we were talking to Doogie about this on the Thursday Reckless Speculation episode. The Vikings have just been so bad at asset management. They've been trading picks for players the last few years, like Unique Ngakoue, like that Herndon tight end guy they traded a fourth-round pick for. They traded a fifth-round pick for that Kyrie Vedvik, that kicker that they cut.
Yeah.
They traded a pick for Jalen Reagor. So they're like trading picks for mediocre players. They did get Hockenson, which is good. Blacklock, they traded a pick for.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, how are they leveraging their aging players that could get them value? They're not. That's my beef with them. They've got all these guys that, again, this is overthecap.com is telling you, here's like six players that could get you a first, a second, a third, a fifth, a third. Go get those picks.
Right, but I think from the very top of the Vikings organization, their philosophy is let's be as competitive as possible every single year. And again, I'm telling you, their philosophy is this: get in the playoffs and we might go on a roll. And I say, hold on a second. But I'm telling you how they think. I don't agree with it. I don't agree at all. I think the Hockenson trade is a good trade, okay? So I'm going to remove that from the discussion.
Yeah, he's 25 years old.
A good trade. But the rest of these trades that the Vikings make to, okay, let's get this guy, let's try and get that guy, it is because, like, they are continually, it didn't just start this season in what they consider to be competitive rebuild mode. They're always trying to do it, but they don't see it as young players. They see it as, let's go get a guy and plug him in. You know, if Blacklock works, if there's always the ifs, if we make a run. I agree, Phil, with what you're saying 1,000%. Just to be clear here, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying it's very clear with the Vikings, how they go about it. And the issue is, you know, Kwesi, I think, is doing what he's been told to do.
Well, what's funny is, like, there's a group of people that think, oh, if you start trading away some of these veteran players, then you're entering a rebuild. And you better be careful trading away these veteran players because you don't want to wind up like the, you know, Texans or the Lions, insert your garbage franchise, the Jets. What those people don't understand is the way that you become the Lions, Jets, Texans is by letting your roster erode and then not building it back up with draft assets. You have a better chance of becoming a garbage dumpster fire franchise by getting nothing in return for these aging players than if you were to trade them all. Like, if you traded all these guys, let's say you keep Kirk, because I get it. You're not going to blow the whole thing up. Mm-hmm. Let's say you literally traded all of those other guys that we mentioned, including Danielle Hunter. People think, oh, it's going to be a rebuild. Well, most of those guys are defensive players, and your defense was already the 31st ranked defense with those guys. So how much worse can it really get on defense? What if you could trade five defensive players for, let's say, five total draft picks between the second and the fifth rounds? And now all of a sudden you go from 4 picks to 9 picks, and you get four, and this is the other thing. The Vikings have had a really bad run of draft the last 5 or 6 years, so they'd have to cash in on the draft picks. But, you know, now you're younger, you're faster, you're cheaper, and it frees you up to go buy other positions in free agency that can help you. To me, it's like trading all these guys is such a no-brainer in the next 4 or 5 weeks to expedite the process of getting better and staying better longer. But for some reason, the Wilfs have,
But this is why I continually bring up this whole thing of, well, you can't trade Dalvin Cook. I've got his jersey. We have to be loyal. That starts with the Wilfs.
Yeah, we'll hang his Eric jersey Kendricks. In 5 years, whatever.
Eric Kendricks. You know, but that's what bugs me. And this is actually this has been a problem in this town across the board with pro sports teams, not just the Vikings, but we gain a loyalty to certain players. And it's like, we never are prepared for pro sports. I mean, it is the actual business of pro sports, the product on the field, ice or court, is the only bit business that basically revolves around legally having age discrimination, which is, yes, you've now true. Become too old. You've now become too old, but we're like, well, I mean, but what, you know, but Dalvin, I mean, Dalvin's a running back. Those guys should be cycled through, but we can't accept that. And that's part of the problem is the Wilfs can't. And until you, until you are willing to accept that, and furthermore, accept the fact that you have to start to bring in young players that give you a chance. I mean, what we're going to see in 2023 on defense, unless it's completely screwed up, is going to be exactly what should take place. You're always bringing in an influx of young, fast talent because the guys who have been, you know, this isn't 1974. You know, the Purple People Eaters, those guys were around forever. Well, yes,
you could were. You could actually get away with playing until you were like 34
years old. It's a
different
era. Yeah, exactly right. It's a different hilarious. Era of football, and that's fine, but it has to be. If 2010 didn't teach us that, nothing will.
Yeah. Well, also, this might be a hot take, but because we haven't seen Ty Chandler touch a football in the regular season, but Ty Chandler was like a fifth-round pick last year. He spent 4 years at Tennessee as kind of a part-time running back, and then he got more of a full-time load at North Carolina after he transferred for the 2021 season. So Ty Chandler averaged 6 yards a carry in the ACC, 1,300 yards from scrimmage, caught some passes. I'll bet you if you gave Ty Chandler Dalvin Cook's 264 rushes, I'll bet you wouldn't see that much of a difference in yardage. Do I think Dalvin Cook is better than Ty Chandler? Yes. Would I prefer to save $12 million to the salary cap to see what Ty Chandler can do and sell some Ty Chandler jerseys to Vikings fans? Yes. Be great. And you can still celebrate Dalvin Cook. Maybe he comes back for some ceremonies. Maybe he's a Ring of Honor guy at some point. I don't know. But, yeah, this attachment, it's like, do you care more about individual players or the team winning? And sometimes I wonder about even, like, the Wilf family lately. It's like, what do you guys, what is your loyalty to the team or is it to Eric Kendricks, you know?
I think it's very difficult for people that own teams at times, especially those who are around, like, the 20-year mark or so, where they become very loyal to certain players and individuals to a fault.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you look, if you're going to fire your GM and coach, guess what? That means it's time to turn the roster over. Not insist that they be kept. And you know what? If 13 wins in the regular season and a division title is your goal, then you did a great job. But if you're not disappointed by the playoff loss, and I don't mean like, oh, too bad. I mean like, okay, how do we get over that? Then something's wrong.
Well, here's another crazy thing. So obviously they were vindicated because they did win 13 games and they won the division and like that was the goal. But what if they had gotten out in front? What if they had a year earlier than maybe they thought had said, okay, Eric Kendricks, we're gonna trade him because he's a linebacker who's 30. We're gonna go into our competitive rebuild a little early. Let Adam Thielen, let's be done with these extensions, right? I know that they would never do that because Thielen's a born and bred Minnesotan, right? But if they had said goodbye to a couple of these defensive players who are aging before they got to the point that they were at middle of the season, they might have had a better defense. They might have had a couple extra draft picks, younger, faster, right? Cole Bjornberg says, I'd like to hear your guys' opinion. Some of these mock drafts show C.J. Stroud dropping down to the 9th pick. Yeah, we saw one of those yesterday. If he's sitting there near the bottom of the top 10, what would you think if Kwesi were to move heaven and earth to move up to get a franchise quarterback for the future finally? I'm biased because I am a Vikings and Buckeyes fan, but CJ is, in my opinion, the most accurate quarterback in this draft. He's intelligent, has good touch on the football. He can scramble when he's pushed to do so, but not being a guy that always uses his legs. Would love to hear your thoughts on making this move, letting Kirk play out the final season. Keep up the reckless speculation. I live for this bleep.
Oh, God. So do we.
So let's go through this. So you're picking 23rd.
Yep.
And let's say you'd have to move up to 9th if he fell to 9th.
Well, yeah.
You'd have to give up probably like your third. You have to give up the 23rd, a third, and next year's first.
At least.
At least.
Maybe more.
And maybe even like next year's second.
Mm-hmm.
Would it be worth gutting your draft? It'd be easier to do this if you traded some of these veterans and got some extra draft capital, right? But is that a risk you would take in this year's draft, pulling a Chiefs and moving up like 15 spots?
The beauty of this now is I've got a guy, if I'm Kwesi or the Wilfs, sitting right to my right or left, who I can ask that very question to, and that is Kevin O'Connell. if Kevin O'Connell says, I have mashed through all of the tape of the quarterbacks. I have broken it down. I looked at the Senior Bowl tape and CJ Stroud is my guy or from the combine. That's my guy. Then you know what? Absolutely. And look, I don't think it probably gets talked about enough now. You know, Rick Spielman tried very hard before bailing on trying to move up to get a draft pick. I think it was with Carolina, the sixth pick of the Justin Fields draft.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, this has been – the Vikings have attempted this. Now, in that case, Rick backed off. But if Kevin O'Connell, who I am firmly going to trust that he is going to identify his next quarterback, says this is the guy, then yes. Then I do what is necessary. Because until you find that guy, what are you? Like, you're a guy, you're a team with a quarterback who's good and you like, with a bloated contract, mm-hmm. and there's no other way to explain it, okay? This team is in cap hell continually, and it's going to continue to be in problems. It's just going to transfer on who is actually breaking the bank. But yes, I am going to rely on O'Connell, and I think his job is going to ride on this eventually, to say, that's my quarterback, go get him. And if he says that, as the guy said, attempt to move heaven and earth to do exactly that.
I agree. If O'Connell says it, I also think, again, it makes it easier to do this if you somehow get like four other draft picks for veteran players on trades, because then you could, okay, we're going to get our quarterback of the future and still have other picks to make this year's team better and other positions better, because your defense needs a rebuild as well, and you don't have that many assets. So Kansas City, when they moved up from 27 to 10, they traded their 27th, a third round pick, and their 2018 first round pick, which is exactly what we just said. You'd have to trade the 87, so you'd trade the 23, the 87, and next year's first round pick to move up to like 8th or 9th or something if that happened. No, that's not for a franchise quarterback. You're basically giving up a third and a future first. Like,
yeah, you're going to have to give up a lot.
I don't have a problem with that. Interesting. Let's keep the feedback coming here. This next feedback question, by the way, presented by our friends at Park Tavern. Alexi from Twitter says, Mackie, are you moving back to Minnesota? Yes, I am. I'll be back in Minnesota in a week or so, and I'm going to be hanging out with Judd Zolgad at the Park Tavern on a regular basis in St. Louis Park.
That's because everybody loves the official sports bar of Sports Dad. In fact, there is the bowling right there, Park Tavern. It's a place that's filled with fun. It's a place that's filled with great beer, great food, and just a great time in my neck of the woods in St. Louis Park, a staple of the community for more than 42 years, family owned and run. And guess what? It's also a place where you can hold a gathering that is 40, 50 folks, easy, no problem. So birthdays, anniversaries, fantasy league drafts, it's as simple as this. Go to parktavern.net, parktavern.net, make your reservations. My friend Cheryl and Phil will take care of the rest. That is it.
It's a different Phil, but I will help
take care. Yeah, well, not Phil Mackey. Well, he'll drink the beer at the corner of the bar with Sports Dad. Or you could call him 952-929-6810, 952-929-6810. ParkTavern.net has you covered when it comes to fun in St. Louis Park.
Maybe we'll do a little gathering sometime later in February.
I've been thinking about going and watching the Super Bowl there. I was going to send Cheryl a note and say, you know what? I bet they have a good Super Bowl spread. The back bar might be fun. That back bar is
I love that
gem.
Back bar.
So
it's,
do I.
It's a I'm blast thinking, out there.
That might be where I spend Super Bowl Sunday.
I love how they do have some Packer fans it's obviously a Minnesota bar and Vikings fans gather, but they do have Packer fans that gather there too on Sundays, and they just kind of shove them out. Like, you guys just hang out by the heaters out back. Just go stand in the cold eating cheese. Okay. Vikings coverage Skull via Twitter says, can't wait to see what you guys have lined up to talk about after Kirk Cousins is eventually gone. Is it going to be pushing the same narratives for the new quarterback if he isn't the second coming of Mahomes? Oh, my God. What? We've been doing a show for 9 years together. What would we possibly talk about if Kirk Cousins is gone? I don't know. The next quarterback. No, we will not have a problem talking about the Vikings, regardless of who the quarterback is.
I love this. I love how like the quarterback is the most important sports topic in your town if you have a team, right? So yes, it's no problem at all. If when they draft a quarterback eventually, do you think we're just going to say, well, this guy is perfect, we're never going to talk about him?
And no, we aren't just going to rip every. Someone hit me up yesterday and was like, I think he tagged both of us, and now we're just like fighting with random people on Twitter.
Naturally.
But
that's how I spend my day.
He said something like, Kirk Cousins could win a Super Bowl for the Vikings, and Mackie and Judd would still want him traded. It's like, okay, you realize that the whole goal of Purple Daily and Mackie and Judd, we want the Vikings. The reason why we're critical sometimes is because we want the Vikings to win a Super Bowl before we die. If Kirk Cousins were good enough, or if the team was good enough around his contract to win a Super Bowl, our tone would be different. Part of the reason why our tone is the way that it is about the team is because they have come nowhere near winning a Super Bowl in the 5 years of paying him ridiculous amounts of money.
If they were to sign Kirk to right now, a 2-year extension, and in the last year he won a Super Bowl, I'd be talking about what's next. Damn right.
Trade his ass.
Damn right. You don't win by standing pat. Rams Daily, trade Matthew Stafford. You don't win by standing pat, ladies and gentlemen.
I bet you there were some Ravens fans that were pissed about that Flacco extension 10 years ago. Remember they won the Super Bowl and it was like, let's give Flacco, you know, the most money of any quarterback. That's kind of a stupid move. But yeah, let's see here. Drusif on Twitter says, what's funny is you guys don't realize how much damage you're doing to the Vikings
by perpetuating
the garbage narrative that we are better off without Kirk.
What is this fear of
the Vikings were better with Case Keenum, not because Case Keenum's better than Kirk, but because the team was better as constructed. Somebody also, too, like a bunch of people. Well, so you guys want Kirk traded to the 49ers. Well, they have a good defense, and they have cap room to absorb Kirk Cousins. Well, maybe the Vikings should build a better team around him. It's like, yeah, kind of like the 2018-2019 Vikings, right? Sound familiar? It's the same nightmare cycle of mediocrity for 5 years, dude.
What don't people get about maximizing value of veterans, too?
Well, I don't think, in fairness, people don't get consumed the way we do with like the cap situation and stuff. And that's why we try to explain some of this stuff to casual fans, because we feel like it's our job sometimes to, all right, you're not thinking about this because you've got a wife and kids and a job and stuff. You know, we are fortunate enough to be able to think about this stuff all day long. And
I got a wife and dog. And guess what? I think about sports constantly.
That's true. Well. Yeah, because you don't have an 8 hour a day non sports job. That's
what I'm saying. Call me a loser. I don't care.
Jim Bicknell says if Stetson Bennett falls to the Vikings because his arrest for public intoxication tanks his draft value, should the Vikings take a chance on Stetson Bennett in the later rounds? Isn't he like 26 years old?
He's 42. Yeah. He's 42. He's Brady's age.
He's 46. He's just like getting bombed and wandering around public intoxication.
I got no opinion on that. Okay. If he wants to do that, but he is, I don't think he necessarily translates to a National Football League quarterback.
He'll be
like his stature.
He'll be 26 this October. Okay. Stetson Bennett. He'll be 26 years old.
That's a little, he's not going to play in the first year.
I'm going to say something that might be
stereotyping
Stetson, but a guy named Stetson Bennett being arrested for public drunkenness somehow fits to me.
He sounds like a rodeo, like one of those guys that is on rodeo tour.
Sounds like a guy who might have grew up with me in the Western Burbs, though, too.
Oh, Stetson. I see. So you think he's more like a popped collar kind of a?
Yeah,
I was thinking more like.
No.
Like really like farm sort of.
I'm saying
you're thinking more like
Edina,
double pop collar guy. Okay.
Stetson Bennett. You know, he's the coolest kid. He just won a national championship. His name is Stetson. It's a fine name. Don't get me wrong, but he just strikes me as a pop collar. I'm really messed up. Watch me do a handstand. And the next thing you know, he's in the pokey.
Falls to a glass table.
Definitely an alternate captain on the Boise Edina hockey team. Stetson Bennett just screams. I can see it at channel 45 right now. They're getting the introductions. Yep. Stetson Bennett. Yeah, exactly.
The all hair team. I love that, Dex.
All All right, Alex Pichetti chimes in here, loyal listener Alex. He says, I know that the Cousins Crusaders will absolutely lose it over this question, but let's get funky on a Feedback Friday. Does Kirk Cousins actually care about winning? Going back to Kirk's most memorable moment, the you like that moment, a comment directed at a beat reporter who questioned if Kirk was really the answer at quarterback. Washington started 2-4 that year. We have to question what Kirk Cousins considers his greatest aspirations. He was most angered, most motivated, most driven, not by playoff success or championship desires, but by proving that he deserved his spot as a starting quarterback. Everything I've seen in Kirk Cousins since then, from his unending desire to win at the negotiation table, frequently passing on long-term deals that would help the organization build around him in favor of short-term deals he can continue to re-up on for market rate, to his milquetoast post-game interviews after losses, where he constantly refers to going back to look at the tape rather than having any real answers for why the Vikings keep failing to have playoff success. Even his preseason comments this year, I got to earn the right to retire here, play well enough to never have to wear another jersey. That's his entire mission. Make money, stay good enough to not be questioned, retire without controversy, don't ruffle feathers. What do you think?
You know what? Until the last couple of years, I thought that. I'm not so sure now. Like, do I think he's a different cat? Absolutely. Do I claim to get him? No, I don't. But I think I understand the angst, and I understand the question about, like, that this is the perception. But I think it might go too far there. Like, his teammates genuinely do seem to like him. Is he a winner, like, through and through? No, absolutely not. Does he love to win at the negotiating table? Yes. But would I then take all of those comments and say they are absolutely right? I don't think so. I think it's more complicated than that.
Yeah. I do think there is something to, like, he has spent his whole football life, high school, college, NFL, trying to prove that he belongs.
Right.
As a starting quarterback, right? Yeah. He had to climb over six other scholarship players at Michigan State to finally get his job there. And then he had to, you know, in his draft, Washington drafted the actual starting quarterback, and then they drafted him as a backup. And then he had to climb over RG3 after 3 years. And so I do think there is something to be said for the bar that he has set has been be a starting quarterback in the NFL and then be a really good starting quarterback in the NFL. I don't know sometimes that he thinks about, even the way that he talks sometimes about, like, you know, we'll see where the chips fall at the end of the regular season, or we'll see where the chips fall in January. I don't know that he even, like, allows himself to think about February, or that he allows himself to, there might be, like, a little bit of an insecure glass ceiling for him that prevents him from getting to that next level of thought. But he has played his ass off for 10 years. He has maxed out what Kirk Cousins was supposed to be if you go back to, like, high school. And I don't know that he, you know, maybe we are too critical. If you look at it from that perspective, like, the reason we're critical is because he's paid like Patrick Mahomes.
Correct. Well, yes, exactly. He is paid like a star, and I think he's good. I don't know that he's a star, but I also don't think, just to be clear, I don't think that we think he's this, like, evil, conniving, terrible person.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Let's see here. A couple more for you guys. Alex Bailey says, I want the Vikings to trade out of the first round, get a second round pick and an extra third or two second round picks if we can. What is your thought? They only have four draft picks.
Yeah.
In general, like, without seeing how the draft plays out, would you prefer them to trade back and get more draft picks?
No, I think they will. My problem is this. And it's recency bias, and it might not be fair because the sample size is so small. But with how the draft went last year, I think trading your first round pick, I don't necessarily trust you. If I trusted you, I would absolutely say yes, because it would be nice to get more picks. But Phil, to go back to what we've discussed a bunch now, including today, is I would almost prefer to try and shop veterans for picks to get more, because if Kwesi goes back again, you know, this whole stock market thing, I totally get what he's saying and what he's trying to do, but I don't know that this team has the drafting skill set to actually maximize the philosophy. Like, he is when you do what he wants to do, you are playing the draft game at an extremely high level. And it's one thing to play it by making the deal. It's another thing then to make the picks and they don't work. And I don't think the Vikings could continue through a cycle of basically saying, well, the first round pick didn't work out again.
Yeah.
Concerns me.
Yep. I hear you. All right. One more here. Susan Terwilliger says, listening to your Score North podcast today, since we can't fix our defense completely, why not get young, teachable players and get a coach that can teach the young players the right way? Yes. Susan,
bravo.
You have nailed it. Ding, ding, ding.
She hit it. That's what they're looking for.
That's what they have to do. Young, fast, aggressive, and mold them. And even if you can't mold them perfectly, can they just be like the 18th best defense instead of the 31st?
I mean,
that's really all we need. Maybe create some more turnovers and sudden changes.
Is your process sound? That would be my question of the day. Is your process sound? Do you have the right process? Say it with me, the process. No, but I mean, Ed Donatell didn't have the right process.
No. No, he did not. But Susan does.
Susan, awesome.
Agree with Susan. Yep. All right, that's the Feedback Friday batch. Try to get to as many as we can every week. So on Purple Daily, no Feedback Friday on Purple Daily because we've got Thor Nystrom with a full week's worth of Senior Bowl observations. He's been down in Mobile. And so you guys are going to be on with him while my movers try to figure out when they're going to take my stuff. It's like a 48-hour window. It's worse than the cable company. Yeah, we'll just show up sometime Thursday or Friday. Just be ready, okay?
You know, Kirk, if you would quit pointing fingers at everybody else and invoking the cable company. And
just let me know anytime over the two-day window that you gave me when you're going to show up with a moving truck.
Look, I mean, what am I supposed to do? I mean, could I have used a different service?
Maybe.
Yeah. Did I? No. Maybe. No. Did I?
Brett
no.
Favre here.
Did I want to? Sure.
I won't name the company. Sure. As long as they handle the move without breaking things, I'll forget.
Oh, good luck with that.
I know. All right. We'll see you guys Purple Daily on this Friday as well. You guys are going to be sitting down with Thor, and we'll catch you guys soon here. Mackie and Judd.